welcome them all to the stage so you guys can get some of your answers out for them. First up, please welcome Ron Clements, the director. We've got director John Mosker joining us as well. With music by Lin-Manuel Miranda. The voice of Maui, Dwayne Johnson. The voice of Moana, Auli'i Cravalho.
Wanted to do a movie based on the world of the Pacific Islands and the mythology. That led to about 5 years ago, we took a trip to Fiji, Samoa, and Tahiti, which really it was the basis of the movie in terms of the connection to navigation, to people's connection to their ancestors, respect for nature. A lot of those ideas came from that first research trip. And the movie was heavily inspired by that, and people that we met have stayed involved with the movie throughout its production process to try to capture as much as we could of all the wondrous things we learned and the wonderful people that we met.
We took a second trip to the Pacific with our musical team, so actually Lynn and Obatai, and we already worked with both of them, but actually right on the front end of working with Lynn, I don't know if you want to talk about that trip at all to the Pacifica Festival.
Yeah, sure. I got the job the week before, and with my job offer came a plane ticket to New Zealand, where everyone was already there. And the Pacifica Music Festival is islands and choirs from all the different islands in the Pacific. So we sort of immersed ourselves in this world. And then Opataya, Mark, and I jumped into a studio and just started banging on drums and started really trying to find the pulse of this thing in a way that honored the unique musical heritage and incredible rhythms that come out of this part of the world.
But before that, we had this dance competition on the stage.
True story.
Wait, what? You had a dance competition?
There was a dance competition in the festival.
And this guy here, I've never met him before. And I had a suspicion about him. He jumps on stage and dances Timur and real fast Pacific dances and wins the competition.
Yeah.
Well, so we knew that this man was a winner before the Pulitzer Prize. He won a dance contest.
Luckily, Puerto Ricans can shape their hips too. So I won.
Those Latin hips going. Yeah.
This sounds like the most difficult research anyone.
That was really grueling.
Nose to the grindstone.
And then Dwayne and Ali here, like, let's go. Do we get to go on another research trip with all of you?
They brought it with them. They are the research in the world. But I don't know if you guys want to talk about your own experience with the culture. Of course,
I do not want to talk about that.
No, I've grown up in Hawaii all my life. I grew up in a small town in Kohala on the Big Island of Hawaii, where I literally grew up with pigs and chickens. I am deeply rooted to my culture. I actually go to an all-Hawaii school where the mythology and the folklore of Maui is in our curriculum, and I've listened to his stories as bedtime, stories I've grown up with, the aloha spirit just around me, and I'm sure Dwayne can tell you that. Forcing him to talk.
Yes, what Ali'i just said, she mentioned a term, it's called aloha spirit, and it's something that is very special, it's very meaningful to us and our Polynesian culture. And so, for example, those of you who've had the opportunity to visit Hawaii or any of the Polynesian islands, it's a very special thing. It's an intangible that when you get off the plane and you have your feet on the ground there, energetically it takes you to a different place. That's aloha spirit. And, the opportunity that we had just as Polynesians to be part of a story and to bring to life a story of our Polynesian culture in this capacity with our great partners at Disney, musically with these masters, was just a really, really special opportunity for us.
Absolutely. What about for you, Asaf?
Well, one of the great things that happened when we went on these research trips is we met incredible people with knowledge in areas of the navigations, of master tattoo artists, weavers, people, anthropologists and archaeologists as well. And they became kind of what we used to call our Oceanic Story Trust. We decided that we wanted to make this film together, and so we would keep checking in with our trust. Of course, it's a fictional story. It's a story from the imaginations of all these incredible people. But we wanted it really to honor and respect the cultures that inspired the movie, and so we kept working together. Everything from every tattoo was checked with our master tattoo artist, the dances were all choreographed by one of our consultants, and so that kept something that we kept going throughout the making of the film, and I think lifelong friendships have been formed as a result.
Definitely think that authentic vibe and just the joyfulness of it comes across so well in the movie. I'm going to toss it out to you guys who've got questions. We'll go right up here in the front first row.
Well, for Lin-Manuel, Dwayne, and Hoda Tai, how do you work together specifically on Your Welcome to figure out what Dwayne's vocal range could be for that song?
I'm happy to lead this story. I got a lot of questions from reporters this week being like, how'd you get The Rock to sing? That's not what happened here. Dwayne found out when Dwayne accepted the role, he said, so what are you giving me to sing? He was really excited for this, and for me, I went to YouTube, where the answers always lie, and you know, I'm a big fan of his wrestling days, and there was a time during your heel turn era where he would pull out a guitar and taunt whatever town he was in. I'd be like, can't wait to get out of Chicago. I can't do the eyebrow. And so I got a really good sense of his vocal range from that 10-minute supercut, and then the rest of it was just writing lyrics that embody the spirit of Maui, who is this amazing demigod, trickster god, and once I had the title "You're Welcome," which only Dwayne can pull off, and still have you love him and root for him, we were off to the races.
We were it was an opportunity to challenge myself, and this is as Lin was saying, he did his research, and by the time I got the song, it was in my comfortable range as well, and also parts of the song which pushed me a little bit, which I appreciate because that's what I needed vocally as well, and I had such a great time. One of the best times I have ever had in my career was actually working on this project, and certainly working on that song, because also, like, we all love challenges, and this was a challenge that the bar is set so incredibly high in a Disney film to sing. When you think, like, historically.
You thought of Dwayne as the new Angela
Lansbury. Yes. Yes, I am. Yes. Proudly. And then, of course.
But he did fabulous. We loved him. That's all him singing the movie. No ringers. That's all Dwayne. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, let's take one from the lady over here with the red hair.
Well, first of all, congratulations to all of you. The film is very, very, pardon the expression, shiny. It's a beautiful job. John and Ron, I'm so glad that the sea called you back again.
We did get called back. Yeah, the sea was beckoning us, and we responded.
And with that in mind, I'd like to ask you, since your visit with the Little Mermaid under the sea, what has happened in technology that allowed you to now make the water an actual three-dimensional character within the film?
Well, someone asked us, could you have done that when you did The Little Mermaid? And the answer was, well, no, obviously. But actually, even 5 years ago, I think it would have been much harder to do it. It's the technology just keeps developing all the time. And we knew pretty early on, when we were in the islands, people talked about the ocean as if it were alive. And they caressed it, and they had these personal relationships with the ocean. So we knew we wanted the ocean to be a character in the movie. We knew we wanted to have this lava monster in the movie. We didn't know how to do it, and we talked to a lot of very smart people in terms of, and they didn't know how to do it either. They said, this is like going to be really, really hard, but we think we can figure it out before the movie needs to come out, and they did. So it was actually, there was sort of groundbreaking technology in this movie. There are a lot of things in this movie, even including what was done with the hair, Maui's hair, Moana's hair. There are things that were really breakthroughs in technology.
And with a giant crab as well.
Right, yes.
All right, we'll take the you right over here with the floral crown.
Hi, I'm Cassandra from LA Times High School Insider. Mr. Lin, I'm curious, bear with me. Are you aware that you're making history? From Hamilton to Moana to Mary Poppins Returning, you're bringing history up, you're creating nonstop. Now, I'm a young artist that likes to write, so what is your advice to write day and night and every second you're alive when you need it to survive?
Give her the secret.
I think you just answered your own question. And I'm very proud of you for doing so. That was awesome. Thank you.
There we go.
Answer it.
Yeah, hard. Just... The answer is keep doing exactly what you just did. Keep writing. Don't stop writing. I think of writing as, you've got to... When you start writing, you're turning on a faucet. And when you turn on a faucet, the water's brown, and it's full of whatever's just been in there and clogged up and waiting to come out. And then you just keep writing and writing until the water is clear, and that's when you find your own voice. So right now, you're doing lots of awesome Lin-Manuel Miranda quotes in your writing. The next time you ask me a question, it's going to sound exactly like you. So keep writing.
All right, we'll take one in the back over here. The hoop earrings. Yep.
Hi, this is for, I'm sorry, I'm going to miss it. Obataya. Thank you. This is for Obataya. I read how your family, when you moved to New Zealand, disappointed that despite all of this to enable you to have a real career, you fell into the music. You loved the music, pressure to go to church and to the gigs on Sunday. Can you tell me a little bit about your ghosts that might concern you as your music has moved forward in this amazing project? And also, what brought up thrill, concerns, and ghosts and thrills? And thank you, the music is amazing in the movie.
Oh, great.
Thank you.
It sounds like a Moana movie, doesn't it? Yeah, I've actually forgotten the question. But the journey.
It chose music.
Yeah, in my culture, music's like breathing air, and they can't understand why somebody would make a career out of playing music. So I had to struggle, throughout my whole career. My parents saying, get a job. I wanted me to be a doctor, etc. And just fighting against all those things all the way through. So I was just saying early on, I was born in a hut, a thatched roof hut. So to find myself here in a big city and Disney like this, it's just beyond my dreams. I'm just thrilled to be part of this amazing group of people. My mouth is still open, so I'll just sit here, look at these guys. It's just, I'm in awe.
We're the lucky ones.
We're
the
lucky ones.
All right, we'll take one right over here. This gentleman with the glasses.
This question is for Ron and John and Lin and Obataya. Congratulations, first of all, for creating something that seamlessly blends old and new musical magic, because this is something that I don't think that we've really seen before. And so how did you do it? What was the technique between to make it seem like The Little Mermaid, but also like Hamilton?
Well, I think... When I first interviewed for this job, I walked into a room with Ron and John, makers of my favorite Disney film of all time, and I said, "You're the reason I even get to walk into this room." And I think I probably scared them a little bit because I'd quote some obscure section of Little Mermaid that they had since forgotten about.
I couldn't remember.
That's part of it, is sort of, I love those movies, and you want to maintain the best of the Disney traditions. At the same time, we're telling this very unique story from this very unique part of the world, to answer sort of the musical aspect of your question, I will admit, the first time I sat down at my piano to work on something this, I remember thinking, don't think about Let It Go, don't think about Let It Go. Let it go! but you solve that problem by just really really getting inside the heads of your characters. And for my way into Moana in particular was, you know, the way she feels the call of the sea is the way I felt about writing music and making movies and singing songs. And I was 16 years old and living on 200th Street in Manhattan and thinking the distance between where I am and where I want to be seems impossibly large. And so I got myself into that mindset to write her songs.
And very early on, when we visited the islands, we heard music wherever we went, like Opetai said, it's part of the culture. So we knew we wanted music to be part of the score. And we really wanted even the underscore of the movie to feature vocals from another language. And actually, it was Oslad, our producer, who really zeroed in on Opetai and Tabata. If you want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I first came on the movie and just spent days listening to Pacific Island music. And every time I thought, oh my God, that's good, it was Tabata, it was Opetai. And so shamelessly called Opetai and his lovely wife, Julie, my wife and manager, and we invited them to come and visit us, and they became family. Yeah.
And I gave it a scare because they put me on the mic and said, do something. And I went, That's what I knew, chants and stuff. So
worked. It was perfect. It was exactly what we wanted, and Opetai became family very early on.
And we wanted both, you know, the island character, the music, and a narrative drive. So really, we envisioned pairing Opetai with someone, and we met Len in New York before Hamilton was staged.
For 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
Almost exactly.
Yeah, this is where we get to boast that we got to win.
They discovered me, you guys.
I mean, he had already
won
Tony, but we still discovered him, didn't we?
We discovered him. He won Tony from the Heights, which was a beautiful, beautiful Broadway show, for those of you not familiar with it, bilingual, and did all these incredible opening songs for the Tonys, and we just loved everything he did. And then he walked in the room, and we thought, that's a guy we want to work with. And then the rest happened, and we said, what do you want to
do? And it was
to?
Their talents. The music really grows out of their own talent.
And honestly, the fun is in how it differs from anything you've heard before. You know, the fact that you're seeing this iconic Disney logo, and you're hearing, Duda!
You know,
Opetai's daughter. That's his daughter chanting. You know, you've never seen that over the Disney logo before. So the fact that we get that level of specificity is the joy of making something new.
Well, and I love so much the fact that even just seeing you guys all get together before we came out here, everyone was hugging. There's such a family vibe here. For Ali'i, coming into this movie, knowing who you're going to be working with, having the legacy of a Disney movie, and getting to be this empowering heroine, what was that like for you? This is my first job.
They're all like this.
This has been an incredible journey for me. I'm 15, going on 16. I'm working with the best people in the entire world, of whom are making a film inspired by my culture, the culture that I have lived every day of my life. And that is something so incredibly special for the rest of the world to see. But I mean, for me, as someone who is hoping to continue in show business now that I'm in showbiz, which is really exciting, I was wondering, how would I continue in this and still be Polynesian? And that might be an interesting concept. And it was an interesting concept for me to even think up. But as I continue with this, and as I potentially might leave my home, what does that make me? Does that still keep me Polynesian? Am I still grounded and rooted in the way that I want to be? And I can honestly say yes. Because being surrounded by my family and by the Hawaiian culture every day, it seems as though I would never lose it. But to have a film like this that will inspire me, and to have a character that will inspire others as well, to become rooted in who they truly are, that's something that inspires me and that I hope will inspire others as well, which is what this incredible team put together. So, thank you.
All right, let's take one from the girl, the orange dress right there. There's a mic coming to you.
We know this girl. That's Diamond, right? Is that Diamond from Tonga? That's Diamond from Tonga, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey!
Ma'ole, so my name is Diamond Lani. So my question is for Dwayne, Ali'i, and Opetaia. Being that you guys are Polynesian, what do you hope that our people will take out from watching Moana?
Opetaia.
East Village?
Yeah.
Well, for me personally, you know, my journey has been from the village to the city. Now, this movie, you know, I said it earlier on, I can vouch for it, that our ancestors are happy with this movie, you know, culturally speaking. So there are many other cultures that will see this movie and be interested in the movie. But also, there will be Polynesians who are born in the cities who will then start the journey back to the roots. And that's what I'm thrilled about. Dwayne.
Ali. Ladies first.
Tag, you're it.
Ladies first. Go ahead.
I'm really excited for everyone to see this film. I know my friends are thrilled. My family is thrilled. And I think we're all very proud of this film. I will admit, and I will admit this truthfully, that before I was working on this film, I was a bit wary of it. Because I think when anyone thinks of someone making a film inspired by their culture, they want it to be done right. I think that's something that I hopefully can say for both of you as well. And Disney has done a wonderful job. The Oceanic Story Trust that has been put together, as well as the research trips that Ron and John and Ostar went on as well. All of that has just created such a wonderful, well-rounded film that I'm excited for my people to see, and I'm excited for everyone else to see as well, as they'll be hopefully inspired to research on our culture, because our culture is, like, awesome. And also hopefully for them to journey out onto their own missions and to figure out who they are as well.
Yeah, sure. It's really, really well said. And I think Opetai is slightly older than me, maybe by just a few months, which is why I had him address the question first.
Yeah. Yes.
Sure.
That's very good.
There is in our culture, respect is very big. Pride is very big too. So that was just so everybody knows, like, that's what that was. I feel like to answer your question directly about our Polynesian culture, what Opetai has said, I think, is very resonant in the pride that they will have in the film. And there were a lot, and understandably so, there was some hesitance from a lot of people in our culture about, well, what's going to happen if our culture is going to be showcased for the very first time on this level, this capacity from Disney? What's going to happen? I can tell you, as Opetai said, and as Ali says, with great confidence, and this is my hope too as well, that our experience has been, we were in such great hands. And anyone who knows John Lasseter knows that he has mana in his soul and in his body. This was a very important project to him, which is why he sent the guys, the boys, and Osnat on this mission for the past 5 years to do all the research. So I feel like the Polynesian people are going to be incredibly proud of the movie. Overall, all cultures, by the way, I think what's going to touch upon all of us, regardless of where we're at in the world, where we're from, cultures, class, religion, is the voice. So our world today, so relevant in this moment, is so full of noise. There's so much noise that's happening in our world, but the little voice that you always got to listen to, your gut, your intuition, you can do things. You can go beyond boundaries, and you have to trust that gut and instinct. So those are the things I feel like our people are going to take away, and the rest of the world will take away.
All right, let's take one from the gentleman here in the plaid shirt.
Oh,
me?
Yeah.
Unless you're going to change shirts.
Stephen Schaefer from the Boston Herald. And for Lynn, congratulations, everybody, really. But the timeline on this, did you do this before you started work on Hamilton? And when you're doing this Mary Poppins sequel or whatever it's going to be called, is that completely different from anything you've ever done, just the way this is?
I've been working on this film for 2 years and 7.5 months, and I can tell you that with confidence because my son turned 2 last week, and I got this job the same day I found out I was going to be a father. That was about And he was born 2 weeks before rehearsal started for Hamilton at the Public off-Broadway. I've been working on this since before Hamilton opened, concurrently with Hamilton as we went through previews, and then through Hamilton since we opened. How do you do all these things? I ask the same question when I see The Rock's Instagrams at 5 in the morning. What you do is, it actually became my oasis of calm. I prioritized writing this story. I would meet with our creative team every Tuesday and Thursday at 5 p.m. my time, 2 p.m. your time, and sometimes they'd see me in my 18th century blouse because I had a curtain at 7 o'clock.
He'd be eating his Chinese food in his Hamilton outfit.
Yeah. And then I would say, okay, that's 5:30. I got to go to the chiropractor. It forced me to say no to things so that I could say yes to Moana. And during previews, it was a great break. If I was sick of the founders rapping, I would go sail across the sea with Maui and Moana. So it actually was the opposing muscle group. It was the counterweight to the Hamilton phenomenon. And it was also sort of an island of peace when the Hamilton stuff started getting crazy in terms of crowd and in terms of attention. So I'm really grateful for Moana because it kept me grounded. And it kept me writing at a time when the world was really paying attention.
And we had the most awesome demos because it was the cast of Hamilton.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so Philip Basu was singing my demos. Chris Jackson was singing my demos.
That's my scratch voice.
Yeah, I had like the best singers as like my in-house band. I'd like, come to my dressing room and sing this.
Demos are not like that.
Although we like Chris Jackson enough, and he matched Tim Morrison enough, and so I was just right. So that song, the Village song, "Where You Are," that is actually Chris Jackson.
Yeah, Chris Jackson is the voice
Hamilton
of
Hamilton. Is the singing voice of our chief too. Yeah.
Washington is
too. Yeah, right. Crossing the Delaware.
I think it's so cool because even having people who are just at the top of their game, like Dwayne was saying earlier, just inspires you to do even better and challenges you to do even better, which is what I think brings this movie to a whole other level. All right, let's take another question. The gentleman in the back, I think you're wearing like a polka dot vest.
Yeah, it's dope.
Oh, very stylish.
Thank you. My question is for the director, and I did that earlier. We saw threads of earlier Disney movies in the DNA here, much of Little Mermaid. I was reminded of the Wizard's Battle in Sword of the Stone. We were in Spider Man. If you drew inspiration from any particular films, and where do you think this is going to fit in making the canon of Disney Pictures?
As far as films that we drew inspiration from, specifically Whale Rider was a film that I think was a big inspiration for the movie. There was another film we saw, probably most people haven't seen it, it's a documentary called Maiden Voyage, about a 16-year-old girl who makes
a Dutch girl who sailed around the world solo. She wanted to, she didn't quite make it, but it was very cool to see her struggle against the sea and just her on the boat, and that was kind of inspiring.
There was also True Grit, of course, two versions. I think very early on we saw this as kind of a True Grit type story. It never really had a romance in any of the versions, but it was this young girl who is on a quest to save her world, who has to team up, is forced to team up with a somewhat flawed demigod, and the two help each other. And she goes through a hero's journey and becomes who she's meant to be.
In terms of Disney films and Disney animated films, if you say what antecedents, well, some of that just sort of sneaks in and leeches in because we made some of those movies and it's part of our own DNA. But I would say there was a slightly conscious thing in terms of The Lion King that we who did not work on The Lion King, but the way they wove music together from other languages in English, we were inspired by that. So when we felt that Mark Mancina, who worked on The Lion King, who helped glue together, so from a music, a world music perspective, he sort of was able to pull in Elton John and Lebo Ann and sort of make them live in the same world. We felt that Mark could help do that with both Lynn and Opetaia to kind of help fuse all that into one thing. But as far as the other references, some of them are accidental, I would say.
Well, there's that indie movie, Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah. We did do a shout-out to them. That was deliberate, though. I'm a big fan of George Miller and John Ripa, who did the storyboards for that. loved Fury Road, and he was talking about that not long after Fury Road had come out. He said, I got this idea how to play this. And so he went full bore Mad Max in that sequence. We loved it. We were all for it. Don't tell George Miller. But yeah.
I was like, if they don't bring up the Mad Max reference, I'm definitely going to ask about it.
Yeah.
For me, this movie, I walked out and, one, I totally cried. I felt super empowered, super excited. I just loved everything about it. For instance, like I said, that's just what was the inspiration for me. For you guys all finally seeing everything come together, the characters, the music, and having an audience see it, what was that feeling like? And we'll just go down the line for you all.
Well, it was interesting. This is our first CG film, and not going into too much detail, but one of the differences in the process is that, compared to a hand-drawn film, is that things develop much slower. Everything, along with the story, which goes through a lot of changes, everything has to be built. The characters, they have to be designed, they have to be modeled, they have to be rigged. Every element of the environments have to be built. There's so many testing and research going on that you don't see a lot at first in terms of what it's going to. You have to be patient. You have to wait a long time. And then at the end, there's a more compressed schedule, I would say. On this film, certainly had a compressed schedule. There was some of this movie was made before last January, but the bulk of this film was actually made within like the last since last January, and at a fairly rapid rate. So when we saw it actually start to come together, it actually wasn't that long ago, and we were kind of blown away by a lot of the stuff that we were seeing when the animation and effects and lighting and textures, the tech animation, the hair and cloth, and it all looks so cool. And so it took a long time, but it's very fun to see it all come together.
Yeah, as we were working, I would say when we hear the score on any of the movies, that's where it becomes the most real in a way. So when we're on the orchestra stage, they have a full 90-piece orchestra there. And in this case, Opataya had a group of about a dozen singers who were singing choral stuff. And when you see that against the images, the sort of final versions of those things, that's where the emotion really sort of kicks in. And it really is powerful to see it that way. And we actually haven't seen it too much with audiences yet, so we're hoping to do that in the future because we've just seen it ourselves reviewing this costume.
Yeah, we had a wrap party last Saturday.
Yeah, we did see it with people there, but people haven't worked on the film really. Yeah, totally independent audience. Not too many audiences again.
Yeah, I saw a close to finished version of the film the day after I hosted Saturday Night Live with 300 of my closest friends because we were moving to London, and so it was a screening / goodbye party, it was so overwhelming. I mean, I made my wife cry, which, you know, she didn't cry at the end of It's a Wonderful Life. She's a tough cookie.
Okay.
So, you know, we got her. I was like, we're going to be okay. But I also, you know, I was very moved in the closing credits, which we saw at the screening yesterday. Disney has a tradition of listing the names of all the children born over the course of making a movie, and seeing my son's name at the top of that list
Dwayne's daughter is in there as well, right next to Lynn's son. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was that was sort of the really crazy full circle moment for me.
Yeah, you know, in life we get an opportunity to do some cool things, we hope, you know, and things that are fun and that we like doing. But with something like this, as Lynn had said, you know, he was so moved. I was so moved when I saw the movie for a variety of reasons. Not only you work on it, you pour your heart and soul into it. It's culture. The grandmother in the movie, Grandma Tala, is like my grandmother, like so many of our grandmothers. And I think that... you know, when I saw it in a theater, in a very little theater, with a group of people, what I noticed, and I've used this term earlier, is there was just, they were floating when they walked out of the theater. And it was such a cool thing to be a part of and to watch them come out, and energetically they're floating. And also, too, I in my entire career, I've never cried consistently through a movie. Ever. And anyway, it was a very, very special thing. So, I guess probably the biggest thing for me was just to watch everybody walk out floating. That was cool.
I also got to watch the film for the first time at the screening. And that was incredible for me. I've been voicing this character for just about a year, a little bit over a year now. And I've known how incredible she was. But that was me in the booth. And to see her on screen, but she kind of has some characteristics of me in her face. She's like a little bit like me to have my voice in there. It's a little uncanny, I'll say that. But also to hear, I think, how the characters play off of each other. That was really incredible for me, and especially Grandma Tala. It was difficult for me to record. It was a challenge for me to record because I like being happy and having to challenge myself and go into that deeper place was challenging, but so rewarding. I didn't get to really connect to my grandmother before she passed, unfortunately, but I have the best mom in the world. So I
and she's standing right over there.
Hey, Mom.
So whenever I thought of someone who pushed me 100% and loved me unconditionally and still does and still will for the rest of my life, that's my mom. So, sorry.
Okay. It's getting really dusty in here.
So, to see that character relationship play out the way I felt it in the book and to see my mom's reaction to the entire film, and to hear my mom's line in the film too.
Her mother plays the woman with the coconut that comes up and says there's a palm on the island, but she says she's doing great.
Which is how she really feels as a mom. Yeah. She's doing great. Yes.
So I loved that. It was just an amazing experience seeing the finished film. Thank you.
Well, my job in this movie basically is to look after the cultural side of the movie. And I'd like to thank John, Ron, and Osman for gambling on including me in this movie. And it's just been an amazing. I've been in heaven for 3 years. and then having, Aulihi, I love your voice in this movie. It's just incredible, She is the Moana voice that I was wanting to say. And then having Dwayne in there, I mean, it just sealed the whole thing, So from a cultural side of things, I'll give it a big tick. It's good. And then having Lynn, yes, I knew Lynn before he became famous. we're on that level. It's just been a joy working with him. It's just, he's all right.
Well, for me, I've had the great good fortune of seeing the film with audiences, and particularly what moved me the most was the chance to watch the film with people from Pacific Island communities. We did screenings here, and was fortunate enough to go to Tahiti and show it there, and Fiji in the village that inspired us to make the ocean a character, and seeing the responses to the film has been so moving. It was so important to us to capture the spirit, the mana, and literally after our big screening with Pacific Island community, I said, did anybody have any questions? And somebody put up their hand and said, I just want to talk about the mana in the room, and I lost it. So that's been very, very moving.
Awesome. Well, unfortunately, you guys, that's all the time that we have with everybody today. I, for one, can't wait to see what the Moana and Mickey ears look like.
That's important.
Give a huge round of applause.
Thanks, guys.